The Heart of a Mother. Our text this morning will be 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 28. A husband and a wife in their 60s were coming up on their 40th wedding anniversary. Knowing his wife loved antiques, he bought a beautiful old brass oil lamp for her. When she unwrapped it, a genie appeared. He thanked them and gave them each one wish. The wife wished for an all-expense-paid, first-class, around-the-world cruise with her husband. Shazam, it took place. Instantly, she was presented with the tickets for the entire journey, plus expensive side trips, dinners, shopping, etc. The husband, however, wished he had a female companion who was 30 years younger than him. Shazam! Instantly, he became 90 years old. Well, if God gave you just one wish, what would it be? I know I would probably wish to get 1,000 wishes, but assuming that was not the case, what would you wish for? Today in our text, Solomon was given kind of that choice, and he chose wisely. The Lord appears to Solomon in a dream. He offers him whatever he asks for. I'd like to begin by reading in our text, 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 9. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is in this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Ask," you notice it says in verse 5, "ask for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." What would you want if you were given your heart's desire, as they say? What would you want? Gold? Glory? Greatness? Pleasure? Do you look for fame and fortune? Power and prosperity? Or longevity? Maybe personal looks? None of this was the case for Solomon. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Why? You may ask. Or you might ask, what is wisdom? I have often told the grandkids, if you ever get lost in a crowd, if you ever get separated from us, there's one thing you must remember. Find a mother with children that is either walking, pushing a stroller, and go ask them for help. Because a mother, 99% of the time, will look to help you and keep you safe, and you'll be okay. Why? Because we know that the mother's love, there's probably nothing greater than. They know how they care for their own family, and they know what it would be like if they lost their own children, so they would seek to help you out. There couldn't be wiser sayings from the quotes of wisdom that I'm going to read. I would like to read just a few that I found on what is wisdom. A philosopher, Cicero, said the function of wisdom is to discriminate between good and evil. Good, basic. There's a philosopher, Kant, says to distinguish between science and wisdom, science is organized knowledge. Wisdom is organized life. Robert Greene Ingersoll says, it is 1,000 times better to have common sense without education than to have education without common sense. Sam Levinson says, it is simple to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say and then say the opposite. Don't laugh so much. I think that's how I go through life. I think, okay, what's the first thing you would say? Now say the opposite. Frank Whitmore, the biggest difficulty with mankind today is that our knowledge has increased so much faster than our wisdom. We think about that for a moment. Knowledge is increasing so fast, wisdom hasn't caught up with it yet. Another individual said, you can tell whether a man is clever by his answers. You can tell whether a man is wise by his questions. Socrates, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. And that is where we as Christians look, isn't it? By ourselves, what do we know about the creation of earth? Nothing. We realize true wisdom is being aware that we are the ones in charge. True wisdom starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the Old Testament, we have examples of how God acted towards man. We see the history of the human race. We see relationships, how family got started, the goods and bads, the do's and don'ts. And then we are offered Jesus coming down from heaven to be an example for each one of us. So that is what we look at today. We think about the wisdom our mothers teach us. The mother's foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I still remember that. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that that stain comes out of that carpet. Mothers teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Think about this one. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Well, you look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Well, how do we look at the dirt on the back of our neck? Mothers teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit there until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. And mothers teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mothers teach us finally about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. But we know most of all, the mothers teach us about love. God loved the nature of Solomon's request. Like a mother requesting for what would be best for her family, Solomon, remember he was just young. When you read those verses, he was speaking that he was young. He was a youth. And the number of the numbers of the people, the multitude was humongous. He says, I'm so young, I'm not even sure I know the way in and out. But he sought wisdom to rule this people that he says is special. Why? Because God chose them. And he asked for the wisdom to rule them. As a mother would ask for the wisdom, as we as leaders or members here at this congregation, may we ask for wisdom in leading our congregation, that we always strive to do things that please God, that we are always a light to community, that we try to spread that message as best we can out to others. So we see that God loved the nature of Solomon's request. And the speech, and now I'd look to look at verses 10 through 14. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither will there be anything after thee that will arise like thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. I've given both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, if you are to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. We see his request, Solomon's request. It was not selfish. It was not self-centered. It showed both reverence for God and respect for God's people. Isn't that what God asks of our lives today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Notice that Solomon asked not personally. He asked for God's guidance. He asked for what God would want. The wisdom to serve God. And then notice that God added things to that list. Because you did not ask, God says, I will add these things to you. God was pleased to grant this request. And then God added the request by physical and material blessings in addition. Solomon took that seek ye first that Jesus talks about. I'd like to look at 1 Kings now, verses 16 through 20. Then there came two women unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O Lord, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered a child from her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman also delivered. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. So basically, these two women and their children, their newborn children. And this woman's child died in the night because she laid on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept. And I laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And now both women claim the living child as their own. So in essence, one woman ends up by rolling on her baby. It dies. She switches, or she has the baby switched. Without other witness or evidence, Solomon must figure out a way to solve the case. He must figure out which mother is lying. However, what we must notice is the difference between the two mothers. We see that the false mother's only concern is for herself. She doesn't care about the child. She's just trying, it looks like, to hide her sin. On the other hand, the real mother is concerned about the infant. She is concerned for the well-being of her son. Notice it was the real mother who brought the case before the King Solomon because of the love that she had for her child. We know that a real mother knows her children inside and out. It says that she had examined her son. The real mother tells Solomon, when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. She looked at the child in her arms, saw that he had no life. Imagine the panic she must have had going through her when the realization came that her child was dead. Yet, she had enough sense then to examine and to realize that it wasn't her own child. She realizes because she knew everything about her son, even though he was newborn and she had only known him for a short period of time. She knew every wrinkle or every crease, you would say, on his face, everything about him. There was a unique characteristic of her son. She knew the color of his eyes. She knew probably the way he smelled. She knew the softness of his skin by touch. And so it is with the mothers. We know that our mothers know everything about us. And then think about our Heavenly Father and how much more God knows. That he knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. We know that he knows the number of hair on our head. For some of them, it's probably easier to count than others. But we know that it says he knows the very hairs on our head. He knows the creator of all. I love the verses that say, you know, like when you look at the birds that fly and how beautiful they are. And if he does that for the birds and for the flowers, as the rain, as Brother Tom prayed for, was as the flowers, this water is going to water and we'll see them sprouting. The beautifulness of the fields and how much more, Jesus says, our Heavenly Father will care for you than all of these. So we look at this mother that knows everything, and she knew something was wrong. She knew this child was different in so many ways. Notice how strongly she felt about this before she says, indeed, he was not my son whom I bore. Her statement is strong, and it's also emphatic. This is not my son. The real mother knows everything about her child. Likes and dislikes, joys and sorrows, triumphs and failures. If he's hurting, she finds out why. If we're in trouble, they find out why. If we're acting peculiar, they investigate. Above all, a real mother knows her children because she has spent time with her family as she prays on her knees to God for them and their care. We see here, Solomon needs the wisdom to decide which mother is telling the truth. We look at how do we find out things? Often the common thing today. What is the mystery of life? How would we find out what we need to do? Do you ever wonder that? Sometimes you wake up and, what is the purpose of life? Your boss might ask, what is your purpose of being here? He's referring to the job. But you think about that in a whole universal sense. What is our purpose of being here today? You know, why are we here? So, we know that a mother loves her children. We continue reading in verses 23 to 38. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. So this is the other mother. My son liveth, your son is dead. And the other mother saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the one that's living. And the king said, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. If I'm one of these mothers, I'd have to start questioning, what does he need that sword for? It's the last thing I'm picturing. You know, bring me a sword. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one, half to the other. You are now sitting in the audience. What is your thought? I mean, I think I would just be in awe, shell-shocked, as they say. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king. I picture there was no hesitation. I picture almost immediately a response. For her bowels yearned upon her son, and she says, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other mother said, I guess that's the case. Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. That would be fair. The king answers and says, pointing to the actual mother, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. She is the mother, therefore. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The wisdom of Solomon is seen in his solution to this problem. He says, bring me a sword. They bring a sword. He says, divide the living child in two and give half to each. He decides to try the case based on the woman's maternal instincts and her human compassion. Calling for a sword, he orders the child cut in half. Solomon knows that the real mother is not going to let this happen to her son. From the beginning, when he asked for that sword, he was granted that wisdom to know the reaction of the mothers. Makes me think about, as Christians, we were talking in our Bible study today, what are individuals' reactions to God's word? When God says, what shall we gain if we profit or gain the entire world but lose our very own souls? What shall we give in exchange? It is a question. And we look at what are individuals' reactions to that. We are told to that a day is coming, a day of judgment, but yet some say, drink and be merry as we have. The reaction might be. But then we might hear the words that we also hear in the Bible, thou fool, today or tonight thy soul is required of thee. So we look. We know what Solomon's reaction, Solomon knows the reaction of the mother is going to help him make his decision. He knows that the false mother will agree because she simply doesn't care about the child. The text says, then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king. She yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, O Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. There was a deep bond of love for her son. And rather than see him killed, she was willing to let him go, to let him live. On the other hand, the false mother did not care, did not have that connection with the son. We know that the contrast in the actions of these two women made Solomon's job easy. He said, give, of course, that first woman the child. So we look at what we have. We have Solomon making this judgment. We have Solomon, who is viewed upon. Word went out immediately, the wisdom that Solomon had. And then you do know what Solomon's final conclusion was, don't you? Here is a man who prayed for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. He made a judgment. This was just one of the judgments that happened in his life. The people marveled at and realized it. Notice it said that they realized his wisdom came from God. It came from heaven. That it wasn't just Solomon. That it was directed by God. So then, at the end of Solomon's life, I'd like to now go to Ecclesiastes. And it's really easy to remember, go in numerical order, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. So Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. And what does he say? This wise man, which we may be viewed as the wisest man in the world because he was directed by God, says what? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He basically says, I've pondered my whole life. And if I leave one last final statement with you, it is this. The conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. When you ask, what is my purpose? Today, why are we here? Solomon, wisest man, asked for God's wisdom, says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it be evil. And then I'd just like to swing to New Testament. These are Old Testament. Some people would say, well, what does it say in the New Testament? There are many. I'm just going to look at one. In Matthew 7, verse 24. In Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Jesus himself speaking, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who's built his house upon a rock. And the rains descend, and the floods come, and the winds blow and beat upon that house, and it shall not fall. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. What is the rock? God's truth. It is founded upon God's wisdom, God's proof, God's word, as we read in the New Testament. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not. Now Jesus is saying, okay, what about those that say, oh, I'm better off by myself. I don't need to worship with other people. I can do my own thing. They believe not. They shall be likened unto a foolish man who has built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And what's going to happen? It fell, and not only did it fall, great was the fall. Psalms, and I like to conclude with this. I would like to go back to Psalms and just the first chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, which is 6 verses long. Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So we say, blessed is the man who meditates on God's law day and night. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly, it is not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So obviously, from the beginning of time, growing up, you always had the good guys and the bad guys. The good guys usually wear white, the bad guys usually wear black. And that's just how it's been. We think about, where did that start from? You think about a lot of things. The people say, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in the Bible, but when you look at what we do in real life, a lot of it all relates back to the teachings of the Bible. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. God talks about a place of light, brightness and light, because he and the sun will light it. The hell, destruction of Satan, utter darkness, evil, being dark. We see when we grow up, I would like to give you these passages just to let you realize that God is that light. God is the way, the truth, and the light. And no man goeth unto them. We think about how we need to believe, we need to repent, we need to confess. We need to be buried with him in baptism to come in contact with the blood that Jesus spilled for us. We see that is the wisdom that the Bible speaks of. Solomon prayed for that wisdom. As Christians, we can obtain wisdom just by reading God's word. God is the one that is in control, and may we follow that example, that love that Solomon had, the love that that mother had for her family. May we have that love for our family. May we have that love for our Christian family. May we have love for those that we come in contact with, that they can be spared and turn unto God before it is too late. And that is what Jesus meant when he sent the disciples out saying, "Go ye therefore unto all nations, teaching them to observe all these things that I have given to you and commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time." We think about what we have. Today, if we are in a need of either taking the steps to become a Christian, or if we've taken those steps, have fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation, whatever our need is, we have the chance to make it right as we stand and sing our song of invitation.